1 Corinthians chapter 9, Paul is talking about his rights. He says in verse 4, he has the right to eat and drink. He says in verse 5, he has the right to have a wife. Verse 14, he says, I have the right to live of the gospel. And he says, I haven't claimed any of those rights. And as we ask the question why, he answers it in verse 12, one of the verses we read, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Later on in the chapter, Paul talks about what he's done to spread the gospel. He says, I'm a free man, but I became a servant to reach the servants. He was a Jew, but he says, I became a Jew to reach the Jews. He says, I went under the law to win those under the law. I became without the law, not without law to God, but I became without law to win those without law. He says, I became weak to win the weak. And then he says, I am made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. And he says, and this I do for the gospel's sake. The gospel was important to Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, he said, for Christ sent me not to baptize. And in that chapter, they were talking, they were arguing about who baptized him. He said, well, Paul baptized me, well, Apollos baptized me. And they were arguing about, and Paul said, I wasn't sent to baptize. He said, I baptized some, but I wasn't sent to baptize. But he said, I was sent to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He wrote in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. By the way, that word gospel means good news, good tidings. The good news and the good tidings that the angels brought to the shepherds, as recorded in Luke chapter 2, where the Bible says, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Paul defines the gospel for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. So Paul says, the gospel's important to me. I am not ashamed of it. It is the power of God unto salvation, and I'm going to forgo all the rights that I have, the right to eat and drink, the right to marry, the right to live by the gospel. I'm going to forgo all those rights and become all things to all men. Why? He said, so that I can reach others. And then he said in verse 12, when we read it, and this is our text tonight, and this is the subject of my message, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. I'll tell you tonight, I don't want to hinder the gospel of Christ. I don't want to slow it down. I don't want to stop it from getting to somebody. I don't want to be in anybody's way. I don't want to be between anybody and the gospel. I say with the Apostle Paul tonight, I don't want to do anything to hinder the gospel of Jesus. Why? Because if I hinder the gospel of Christ, somebody might go to hell. You see, the gospel is salvation. If I hinder the gospel, I am hindering salvation. If I hinder salvation, I might cause somebody to die apart from Jesus and spend eternity apart from him forever. And I don't know about you, and I think I know your hearts tonight. I think most, if not all of you, would say with me tonight, I do not want anybody going to hell because of me. I don't want to stand in anybody's way to hear the gospel. I don't want to be responsible for anybody missing the gospel, missing Jesus, missing heaven. So we ought to say that with Paul. I do not want to hinder the gospel. Now, tonight, here's what I want to do. I have three simple points. Three simple points all that say this. Even though we don't want to hinder the gospel, sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. And so tonight I want to give you three ways that we hinder the gospel in the hopes that you will join me and join Paul in saying, I don't want to do that. I don't want to hinder the gospel that way because I don't want to hinder the gospel in any way. And it's amazing tonight how the testimonies went right along with this message and how Adam's song went right along with this message. So here we go. We hinder the gospel when we do not tell it. We hinder the gospel when we don't share it with others. In Mark chapter 16, verse 15, Christ gave the disciples some instructions, and those instructions he gave to us at the same time. He said, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You and I are God's messengers. You and I are God's channels. We have been given not only the great privilege, but we have been given the responsibility to go and tell others. To go and tell them that Jesus died for them. To go and tell them that Jesus rose for them. To go and tell them that Jesus lives for them and offers to them that gift of eternal life. And when we don't do it, when we don't go and tell other people that he died and he was buried and he rose again, when we don't tell that, we hinder the gospel. And by the way, it's just not a job that we do on Sunday. It's just not a job that we do in the church. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, the Bible says, and daily in the temple, we ought to tell it in the church, and daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. I mean, in the New Testament church, the church in Jerusalem that's described in the book of Acts, and that church grew at a phenomenal rate. I mean, there were thousands saved and added to that church in a short period of time. Here's why. The people were excited about the gospel, and it wasn't just a Sunday thing. They did it every day of the week. They went into they did it in the temple, but they went into every house and they taught and they preached Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. Paul says, I've been called to preach the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. Woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. We need to be like the watchman that Ezekiel talked about in chapter 3. The Bible says, son of man, I have made thee a watchman. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. And God would say the same thing to us. We are his watchmen for other people. We need to give them the warning. Now, here's the warning we need to give them today. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll have life. But if you don't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be condemned and spend eternity apart from God in that place called hell. That's the message that we need as watchmen to give. And so, going on back to the book of Ezekiel. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man will die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thy hand. God says, I'm going to hold you accountable. You had the message. You had the warning. You had what he needed to hear. He's a sinner and he's going to die for his sins, but because you didn't warn him about that, I'm going to hold you accountable. And then he says, yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. And so we're messengers. We're God's channels. We're God's ambassadors. He has commanded us to share the gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Woe unto us if we hinder it. Woe unto us if we get in the way by not telling it. God will hold us accountable. So, number one, we hinder the gospel when we don't tell it. Number two, we hinder the gospel when we don't live it. When we don't live it. The gospel changes lives. When we believe the gospel, when we get saved, we get a new nature. We get a divine nature. We become a child of God. We become a member of His family. Our life is changed. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And yet, it's a shame that many Christians, saved, bought by the blood, name on the Lamb Book of Life, and yet they're not living it. They're hiding it. In Mark chapter 4, verse 21, Jesus asked the question, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed and not to be set on a candlestick? It's a rhetorical question. Jesus asked it to get people's attention. He said, hey, you don't buy candles and light them and put them under a bushel. That's not the purpose of a candle. You don't buy a candle and light it and put it under your bed. You buy a candle and you light it so that other people can see it. You've been saved. You're a child of God. Your life has been changed. Old things have passed away. All things have become new so that other people can see it. They can see it as you live it. He said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Don't hide the gospel. Don't hinder it by the way we live our lives. In 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul said this, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel's hid, it's hid to lost people. It's hid to people that don't know Jesus. It's hid to people that are on their way to hell. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to the lost. In 2 Corinthians 6:3, Paul said this, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Paul said, look, we need to live our lives so that nobody stumbles over our testimony. So that we give no offense to lost people by the way that we live our life. I've often wondered how many people go to hell, how many people are on their way to hell because they stumble over an inconsistent Christian that's not letting their light shine, not living the life that God called them to live as a Christian. And they say, as they look at those inconsistent Christians, I've had people say this to me. I'm not just making this up. I mean, I've had people over and over tell me, as I've witnessed to them, hey, if that's what Christianity is all about, and they have told me a story about, you know, their aunt or their brother or their friend, somebody that they went to church with at one time, that didn't live the Christian life, that didn't have a consistent testimony, and here's what they said in so many words, if that's what Christianity is all about, I don't want any part of it. I'm just as good as they are. My life is just as good as theirs. And I wonder how many people are on their way to hell tonight because of Christians that have not lived a consistent Christian holy life. None of us want to hinder the gospel. None of us want to be responsible for anybody that's headed toward hell. And yet, when we don't tell it, we hinder it. When we don't live it, we hinder it. And then number three, we hinder the gospel when we don't give to it. I can't preach the gospel to the whole world, but I can give and send a missionary to a part of the world that I can't go to, like Andy and Linda going back to Latvia. I'll probably never go to Latvia. I'll never preach in Latvia. But I can put money in the church, and our church supports Brother Andy as a missionary, and as Brother Andy goes over there and preaches, I, in a sense, am going to that part of the world and preaching. I can't go witness to other parts of the world, but I can give, and a missionary can go and witness. I can't pass out Bibles to the whole world, but we support the Gideons. And the Gideons have a worldwide ministry that passes Bibles out all over the world. I was reading a little thing that was in a letter that I get from the Gideons every once in a while. And it told about a Canadian who took a Japanese version of the Bible and passed it out in Russia. Now just think about that. Somebody from Canada that took a Japanese version of the Bible and went to Russia where some Japanese people were living and passed out a Japanese version of the Bible in Russia. And this guy was from Canada. I don't know Japanese, and I'll probably never go to Russia. And here's a Canadian who we have supported through the Gideons that's doing that. And so we hinder the gospel when we don't give to it. Angie sings for us. We do it at her Christmas banquet, but she sings at other times too. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad that you gave. And in that song, it pictures heaven, where a person goes to heaven and person after person comes up to them and says, thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm here because you gave and supported a missionary that came to my land and told me about Jesus. Or I'm here because you gave and somebody gave me a Bible or somebody gave me a tract and I heard about Jesus. You see, hearing the gospel is the most important thing that can happen to somebody that doesn't know Christ. Hearing the gospel that they're a sinner. Hearing the gospel that there's a penalty for that sin is important for lost people to hear. Hearing the gospel that the only begotten Son of God went to the cross. And as he hung on that cross, God took every one of their sins and every one of our sins and laid him on his Son. That's important to the lost person. Hearing that Jesus, when he hung on the cross, paid the penalty for every sin. That's important for a lost person to hear. Hearing the gospel that Jesus died, was buried, spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb, and then arose, defeating death, defeating sin. That's important for a lost person to hear. It's important for a lost person to hear that God loves them and that Jesus did that for them, and that if they come to Christ, he would forgive their sin. He would make them one of his children. He would give them a home in heaven. The only way they're going to hear is for somebody to tell them. Maybe it'll be us. Maybe it'll be a missionary. Maybe it'll be a Bible that somebody gives them. But we need to pray the same prayer that Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19, when he said, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the ministry of the gospel." Let's be bold. Let's listen to the Holy Spirit like Shirley did, sitting on the swing. Hey, you need to go talk to that guy. Let's listen to Holy Spirit as Sharon testified tonight. Don't judge somebody from their outside. There's somebody that needs to hear the gospel. Person maybe live next door to us, may work next to us, may come into the same store as we do, or be at the gas pump across the way from us. We need to have a consciousness about that one soul. That one soul is who Jesus died for. That one soul is important to God. That one soul, if they come to Jesus Christ, there will be rejoicing in heaven. Let's not hinder the gospel. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this reminder from your word. I think we all have the desire never to hinder the gospel. But Father, help us to tell it. Help us to live it. Help us to give so that others can go where we can't and share it. I pray tonight if there's somebody here that's never received the gospel, they've never received Christ as their Savior, that Holy Spirit, you would show them tonight, this evening service on Father's Day 2018, that they're a sinner and that sin separates them from you. That they can't pay for it anyway by themselves, but Jesus paid what they'd owed. And if they come to him, he'll save them. He'll forgive their sin, wash them from the blackness of that sin, make them white as snow. Though their sins be like crimson, they shall be like wool. And I pray tonight, if there's just one here that's never received Christ, they would come. Let us take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Speak to us as Christians. Show us where we're not sharing, where we're not living, where we're not giving the way we should. Help us to resolve to fix those things. Just bless this time of invitation. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.